Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Rory O'Hara, Osparity, Russ Stark, Weidenhammer, Matthew Shapiro, Obermeyer, Chris Keith, Epic Brokers, and Jeff Greenhouse, Glimmer. Rory, can you give us a rundown on who we have on the show today, please?
Yes, happy to, Herb. We're going to start with Angela Rubino-Hines, president of Bovio Rubino Service. Then we're going to have Matthew Shapiro, managing partner at Obermeyer, followed by Lee Calfo, CEO of Alden Investment Group. And we're going to finish with David Wren, CEO and co-founder of Stream Companies.
Let's get to know our first guest, Angela Rubino-Hines, president of Bovio Rubino Service. What is Bovio Rubino Service, Angela?
Bovio Rubino Service is a residential and light commercial heating, air conditioning, and plumbing company serving South Jersey from Burlington County down to Cape May County.
You're about 60 employees. You expand to more during the summer. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I'm from Voorhees, New Jersey. I have one younger sister, and I'm the oldest.
Gotcha. And 8 to 14, what's that list look like?
8 to 14, I was involved with music a lot, bands, marching bands, concert bands, involved in my church, my youth group, and DECA, and some clubs.
You mentioned you were always selected as the head to lead things. You know, when you were working with other kids, and why? And you mentioned because you always saw potential. You could, and you really wanted to be involved. What's always seeing potential and always wanting to be involved with your being the? It says here you're the president of Bovio Rubino Service. Mm-hmm. What's the connection there between you wanting to be involved and always taking the lead and being the president of this organization?
I like watching things grow and leading mm-hmm. people to their full potential.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Russ, you want to give me a hand getting to know Angela, please?
Angela, what would you say was the major pivot point in your life?
A major pivot point in my life was when my dad had a stroke. I was not working in the business. After college, I took employment elsewhere. And when he had a stroke, he almost died. And I needed to come back in and run the business. That was our source of livelihood. That was my name on the truck. And so I just came back in and ran the business with no support, no help.
Matthew?
You say you just took over the business at that point, but you'd been involved for a long time. How young were you when you were helping your dad out with that business?
The business was right out of our house, so I was always involved in some way. But from when I was about eighth grade, he took me to work with him doing, you know, clerical work in the office, answering phones, typing notes, things like that.
What did you learn from your dad from watching him run this business so up close? What did you learn from him that stays with you today that you still use running Bovio Rubino Service?
His work ethic. He was a really hard worker, and he took that business from a side business to the size that it was when I took it over. And that came from his hard work and perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey? And I do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Angela, what did being in marching band teach you that you use today now that you're orchestrating 70 employees?
So my marching band was one of the larger ones, and it was over 100 kids. So you have to get everybody moving the same direction at the same time, the same step, following the right lines. So basically as a leader, you got to get everybody following you, doing the same, pulling the same direction for the same common goal. So in order for your business to grow and be successful, you have to do the same. I have to do the same thing that
gotcha.
I was in
marching band. Rory?
Yes, in the green room, you mentioned your mother and grandmother were very loving and caring. Now that you're leading a business, how has their influence shaped the way that you lead your team and run your business?
Being a leader, you have to sometimes make hard decisions, but in order for people to follow you and want to do what you want to do, you have to show that compassion and kindness and get to know them so they want to be part of your team and follow you.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
You know, you mentioned your dad running the business. Tell me about your relationship with your mom and how that played a role in the success of the business and then the overall family dynamic.
So my mom was a stay-at-home mom. So she just supported my dad all the time and everything that he did, because he worked from 6 in the morning to 9 at night. She was just his support team, and did make sure everything was taken care of. And as a leader, you're not at the top, you're actually at the bottom. You're the support for the entire company. So you have to support all your people for them to grow. So I kind of take what she did for him to grow. So I'm taking that from my people and watching them grow.
Ross?
Yeah, when you ran through that list before of your interests and activities as a kid, you said these are nerdy things and I was bullied for it. How did that influence who you are today and just the way you think about leadership?
Yeah, being made fun of is hard and it's hurtful, but I took that and just made myself stronger. You know, yeah, I went home and cried, but then at the end of the day, like I still showed up. I still went back to school. I still volunteered for things, but you know, wanted to be the leader, the president, all that stuff. It just showed me perseverance and dedication and hard work and just to overcome those challenges.
Jeffrey.
So you mentioned that when you were younger, you had an election run-in with a boy who didn't play fair. How did that prepare you to be a leader in what is generally a male-dominated field?
So it took, because he didn't play fair, I had to really work hard to overcome that. And being in a male-dominated field, I get pushed aside, not listened to all the time. And it just showed me that I could still do what I need to do, right? Like just because I'm in a male-dominated field, I could still work hard and prove myself. It didn't push me down. It rose me, it made me work hard. It rose me up.
Matthew?
Angela, what role does faith play in your life?
I'm not really religious in this point now. Like I don't go to church all the time, but being involved in the church really showed me compassion, honesty, and integrity as who my, it's my core values, and they're my core values of my business. And when you have core values of your business like that, you will continue, your business will continue to survive and thrive. That's how you
So it's
should
fun.
treat people.
So as you say that, I was thinking when you responded earlier about the pivot in your life, you talked about your name being on the truck. What does that mean to you that your name's on the truck?
That's like my heart and my soul. So I always want to make sure that we're always doing the right thing here, by our customers and by employees, because it's my name on that truck. It means a
What are
lot
you
to me.
talking about the right thing? You're putting in air conditioning.
You could all, you're in people's homes, right? So you want to make sure that you're being honest and upfront with what you're doing in their home, their pricing, how you treat them is huge. They're trusting you to go into their house, so you have to do the right thing. It's a big trust factor to let a stranger in your house. So it's really important to me that they feel that you know you're going to do the right thing by them. A lot of companies don't. A lot of companies are dishonest.
I'm curious, how did your father earn that trust when you were out with him going into people's houses?
He's very directed up front. You know what you're getting from him. You're not, you're, there's never a gray area, but he always did the right thing. Whether even if that meant that you know the job wasn't for him or he had to take a loss on it, he was just always up front, and we could see that because we have the same customers from the early 70s when he started the business. They're still with us.
A question for you, Angela. Is that still around today? And you think he's proud of what you've been able to do to the business?
Yes, my dad is still around. He's going to be 81. He'll never tell me he's proud. That's not him. But I know he is. When he asked me like how many employees we have now and how many trucks, I could see the smile on his face because he did say never in his wildest dreams would he think that his one truck would turn into 50 trucks.
How many trucks?
We have 50 trucks.
So let me ask you this. You've been running a business for a long time and you probably are able to financially retire. Why don't you?
I still have so much to give, and I still see so much growth and potential in this business.
You have so much to give and you see so much growth and potential in this business. So you're really driven.
Yes. Every day I want to get up and win. And there's a, you know, even if it's a small win, it's either a win in growth or a win in what I see in my people. You know, we do a lot with young people, getting them into involved in the trades and training them. And I just get a lot of joy in watching them grow and driving them and pushing them to their full potential.
So you're like the master mother, it sounds like, you know, trying to grow the employees, trying to grow other young people into the trades. What's the website address for this organization known as Bovio Rubino Service?
It's bovio-rubino.com.
We've been speaking with Angela Rubino Hines, president of Bovio Rubino Service, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders and our nonprofit, realworldleaders.org. That's realworldleaders.org. We'll be back in a moment, right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Herb Cohen, your host at executiveleadersradio.com. Regarding your career, if you're trying to figure out how to make the most money and also enjoy your career, that's enjoy your career, I mean really enjoy your career and make the most money, you ought to talk to our CEOs. They've got the bird's eye view of where the really profitable jobs are, where the really profitable jobs are going to be, and they're willing to speak with you regarding their vision for the future and where you may fit into it in order to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Email us, consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com to get help from our CEOs regarding where you may want to go in your career to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do. Like when it comes to preventing underage drinking and other substance use, you've talked with your kids and shared clear expectations, but you're not with them every minute. Your community members, friends and relatives, teachers and coaches, faith leaders, and other important adults in your kids' lives can be your eyes, ears, and a supportive influence when you're not around, reinforcing your messages with your kids and alerting you to warning signs of underage drinking or other substance use. So talk with your kids about these issues and involve the members of your community to help keep your kids safe. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information, visit talktheyhearyou.samhsa.gov.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, it's me, your manhood. Remember when we used to crush workouts and still have energy left over? Ever since we turned 40, I've been feeling neglected. Testosterone levels just aren't what they used to be. What do you say you give me a boost with Nugenix Total T2?
America's most trusted testosterone-boosting brand is back with even more man-boosting power. Nugenix Total T2, crafted with a unique new formula that combines the ultimate free and total testosterone booster with a powerful nitric oxide booster that starts working in just 3 hours with continued benefits over time. Feel like a new man, leaner, stronger, with more energy and drive.
Oh, yeah, we are so back!
Text BEAT to 215215 for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2. We'll even throw in a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our most powerful fat incinerator ever. That's BEAT to 215215. BEAT to 215215.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. Product not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We're back. You're listening to Real World Leaders on our national radio show. Students and young adults meet and interview well-respected CEOs, learn their secrets for success, and develop their own clear sense of their natural strengths and how to capitalize on their natural talents. And I was wondering, Israel, was this a waste of your time? Did you get anything out of this conversation with Mr. Mark Albero, who's general manager of Pack Strapping?
No, this is absolutely not a waste of my time. Having these deep conversations with these businessmen like Mac is really important to me, especially because it's not only building great networking skills for me, but it's also giving me a great opportunity to learn how to think on my feet and talk to people.
I think you're pretty good thinking on your feet and talking to people. How have you changed since middle school, Israel?
I just changed a lot from middle school. I remember in middle school, I wasn't really dedicated with my grades and stuff like that. And going through like Real World Leaders and Franklin Town, I seen myself progress in dedication and speaking skills and being able to talk to people. I've always found myself as a person who's very open and talking to people. My mom and dad always said, don't talk to strangers. And, you know, I always loved to.
Mm-hmm. Mark, would you hire somebody like Israel into your firm, and why or why not?
Absolutely. Just from the brief introduction here, obviously, I need to get to know people ultimately better. But Israel seems like the kind of person that might fit into our sales team. Seems like he's comfortable talking to people and definitely can think on his feet a bit, just mm-hmm. from the brief introduction here.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sir Israel certainly is eloquent and outgoing, and it seems to me he's got this sales marketing thing going on. Israel, what were you thinking about doing as you grow up?
That's actually interesting. I actually do look into like stuff like sales marketing and stuff like that. Right now I have my own little small business where I make websites. So I'm learning how to cold call people and talk to people more, which is like developing and being added more from Real World Leaders and stuff like that. But my future goals is doing like real estate and stuff like that. And like hopefully one day I'll be able to own a skyscraper in Philadelphia and live at the top and everybody else pay my mortgage.
Well, what Mark and I are picking up about you is a personality trait. And that personality trait is one of sales and marketing. And whether you get involved with real estate, whether you get involved with manufacturing, whether you get involved with any business that sells, no business ever exists without revenue. Without revenue, everybody gets to go home. Xavier, how about you? Was this a waste of your time, or did you pick anything up that was of any value from this conversation with Mr. Albaro?
No, this was certainly very beneficial. I think it's very good to gain insight into the life and the lifestyle of successful people and how they got to where they are. And particularly for me, the habits that they chose to, the habits and hobbies that they chose to get into when they were younger. He particularly mentioned reading earlier. I thought that was very interesting because I also think that's very it's a very beneficial habit, and I'm sure it's many things like that.
Xavier, what do you do in your spare time? Xavier, what do you do in your spare time?
Just normal things. I play video games. I practice the saxophone, play a couple instruments like that. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time doing a lot of schoolwork because I think it's really important that I do well academically.
Yeah. Mark, is there room in your organization for somebody studious like Xavier and also that likes to play with computers and video games?
Absolutely. I've got plenty of folks in my customer service team, as well as in my accounting team that they're on their computers pretty much all day long. And as am I running the business. There's a lot of work that gets done because, we're constantly processing orders in, processing orders out, as well as processing payments in and payments out to make sure that both my vendors are taken care of, as well as my customers are taken care of.
Sure. Interesting. Frank, wondering from your perspective, was this a waste of time, or did you get anything out of the conversation with Mr. Albaro?
To me, this definitely wasn't a waste of time. I love to hear like about different CEOs and your uprising, and specifically how that impacted you and how you're doing now because of it.
Mm-hmm. And Frank, tell us a little bit about how have you changed since middle school?
Well, I definitely think I've become more confident. I've branched out a lot more, and I've enjoyed talking to other people as much as I can now, especially me since I'm Hispanic and I'm very prideful about that. I talk to people all the time, whether it's at school or whether it's at work, and I'm trying to build as many connections as I can, and I'm hoping one day that will help me in the future.
Are you working part-time?
Yeah, I do currently work part-time.
What do you do part-time?
I work at an AutoZone. I just help people there. Mainly, I'm bilingual, so I speak both English and Spanish. Mainly, I'm there to help Spanish speakers who just need help and can't get their usual help from like other
people. What do you like about your job?
I like the most that I just build connections with like the crazy people. Obviously, we're in Philly, one of the most populated cities in all of America. So every single day I'm seeing people that I may not see again for another week, or I may see them the next day. And just like that, they still remember me.
So you like developing relationships, huh?
Yeah, I do that a lot. I like to just talk to random people and talk to as much people as I can.
Mark, where do you think Frank would fit?
Well, Frank comes across to me a bit of what I call a connector, you know, a person that would hold a lot of the glue together with the people, which feels just generally to me like a fit around human resources. You know, the support that my team has from a human resource perspective, as a great example, we have a factory down in Lancaster, South Carolina, and it's about 60% Hispanic, Spanish speaking. Thankfully, we have a person of Hispanic heritage that runs the human resources department, because it's been extremely helpful to have somebody bilingual there. But it just feels to me like where Frank's feeling, because I wrote down here on my notes here, connector, and that's where I see that fit.
Frank, considering what Mark's talking about, does that have any interest for you?
Definitely. I've always imagined myself as someone who would build bridges between people in order to better their lives. And it's something I hope to pursue in the rest of my life after high school.
Hey, Mark, I got a question. How'd you figure out so quickly where Israel and Xavier and Frank would be able to fit? How do you know that stuff?
Well, like Herb, been around a bit, so you see a lot of folks and you get to feel out how folks are and where they're coming from. But listening, most importantly, is listening. I've said this before on Real World Leaders, but there's a reason why we all have two ears and one mouth. It is to listen more and to talk less. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest thing I got out of the conversation, is just trying to hear what the students are saying and staying engaged with what they're telling me and really trying to understand what the words are and what they're trying to get across. That's a huge factor, but that's how I picked up on it.
Gotcha. Nicholas, how about you? Was this a waste of your time, or did you get anything out of the conversation with Mr. Albero? Nicholas? All right. And Israel, let me ask you this. How do you think Mark would be able to give you a hand going into your future, Israel, if you had that choice? What are you thinking?
If I had that choice, I would love some type of internship. I got offers from our own connections in that one meeting that we both want to go out, visit the businesses, and gain more information about the businesses. So I feel like some type of internships or just simple connection in between me, a student, and a man like you would just be able to improve my understanding.
Wouldn't you rather be out hanging out with your friends or playing with video games or doing something else?
Well, yeah, most of the times I would, there's always time for your friends at video games, but I try to put things like my education and networking above all of that, because those are the real things that are going to be able to shape my future and judgment how I'm going to be able to build my financial and my businesses in the future. So I think it's all about networking. Friends and playing the video games are all important right now, but things like networking are very important in the future.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what do you think of the idea of internships?
I think they're a phenomenal experience. I had the ability to internship a little bit when I was going through college, and that helped me to get into my first real job. As well, I saw the power firsthand. I have a daughter who just recently graduated college, and she's now working for the organization that she interned for her last semester.
Gotcha. This is your host, Herb Cohen. You've been listening to realworldleaders.org. Our first guest was Jeff Reimel, president of Reimel Machines with DC International School. And our current guest, Mark Albero, is general manager of PAC Strapping with the students from Franklintown Charter High School. Don't forget to visit our website, realworldleaders.org, to learn more about our programs for teachers and for students and CEOs. We'll be back in a moment right after this.
Reach your destination, not the ditch, with Issy Tire Socks, the amazing new solution to keep you from slipping and sliding in snow and ice. And anyone can install them in minutes for emergency traction and quick trips in the winter. Issy is the global leader in tire socks, and it's no wonder why. Issy is an essential part of your winter emergency kit, whether you drive a car, SUV, or light truck. Give the gift of grip for safer driving. Available at Amazon, Walmart, and other major retailers. Don't get stuck. Get Issy, I-S-S-E, really, Issy.com.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
The war machine rolls on. Congress wants its say, but will politics ultimately prevail? Find out this week on Liberty Nation Radio.
author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
60 seconds of service.
This 60 seconds of service is presented by T-Mobile. Those who serve, save. Military families get exclusive savings with T-Mobile, America's best network, according to Ookla speed test. So you can stay connected wherever duty calls. Visit t-mobile.com/military-savings to learn more.
In Columbus, Ohio, around Veterans Day last year, dozens of local veterans took the initiative to support neighbors struggling with food insecurity, not by marching or protesting, but by volunteering at the Mid-Ohio Food Market. Organized by a veteran service and volunteer organization, the event brought together veterans of various conflicts and branches of the military to sort donations, load food into cars, and hand out produce to families in need. For more great veteran stories, just go to nationaldefensenetwork.com. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.
Listen as students and young adults interview well-respected CEOs on our national radio show, RealWorldLeaders.org, to learn secrets for success and how to use them to propel their careers.
You are playing sports, you're playing piano and violin. How do you find all that time in the day and still going to school?
I think since I enjoy all of this stuff, it's easier for me to like get it all done. With piano and violin, I can do like a little bit of practice each day. And then sports, we have games and practice. But I find like with a schedule and balancing out times for each, it's easy to manage.
Right. Jeff.
I love what she just said. She took the words out of my mouth. She says, I play the piano and the violin and I practice a little bit each day. And one of my favorite sayings is the Tanzanian proverb, little by little, a little becomes a lot.
To hear more and to help us introduce your high school, GED, work-ready, and college students to our CEOs, visit our website at realworldleaders.org. That's realworldleaders.org.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And let's get to know Lee Calfo, who's CEO of Alden Investment Group. Lee, what is Alden Investment Group?
We're a financial services company made up of various regulated entities, and we provide a platform for investment professionals to serve their clients, which includes institutions like banks and credit unions and individual investors.
Gotcha. Where you're from, how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
Sure. I am originally born and raised Hershey, Pennsylvania. I am the oldest of four siblings who are a little bit younger than me.
Gotcha. And 8 to 14, what were you doing 8 to 14 years old?
8 to 14, I was playing sports like golf. I was playing, doing some martial arts and the other seasonal ball sports the kids were doing. And then I was also in church a lot on Sundays with my family, friends, and grandparents.
Gotcha. Russ, want to give me a hand getting to know Lee, please?
Yeah, Lee, you had told us in the green room that your mom had you when she was pretty young and you grew up in your grandparents' house. And for a lot of people, that would read as kind of disruptive and a difficult start, but it doesn't sound like it was for you. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, it was. I always felt loved and supported because I had people around that cared about me, that took me to sports and helped me develop. And then my uncles that lived in town were also really important. So I never felt a lack of attention or a lack of care. I felt like there were a lot of people that did things with me that were important to me.
Mm-hmm. How's that affecting how you're building this organization nowadays?
I think having a number of good role models when I was young and being cared about and encouraged by a number of people helped me to develop a sense of empathy and a sense of understanding for other people's needs. And that has been really helpful to me in trying to build my team and motivate them and get us to all move in the same direction.
Jeffrey?
So you mentioned that your favorite subject in school was history. And I want to know, how does that relate to how you advise investment clients today?
Yeah, it's interesting because finance has a lot of technical fields like mathematics and computer science, but really, investing is part of human nature, and history tells us a lot of things about what occurred in the past, and you can see parallels to what's going on today. Even though the facts may be different, the stream of history and how people respond to different challenges kind of is a common theme, I think, in investing. And if you look at the past and you understand human behavior, you can really understand how to invest more successfully, I believe.
Rory?
Lee, you mentioned you grew up with a love for golf, and people often say that golf is more mental than physical. How did that mindset help prepare you for running a company?
I think that I've always enjoyed it, maybe for partly the historical angle, but also you're responsible for everything. If you win or lose, it's completely based on the decisions that you made. Golf has a nice social component to it. It has a competitive component to it. You call penalties on yourself. So I think that there's a lot of good things that people can learn and have learned over the years from engaging in that activity.
Mm-hmm. And you also said your first job was on the golf course. What did you happen to do with the money that you earned working at the golf course?
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, I spent it on golf, my passion at the time, but I also saved it and was encouraged to do so by my family. And kind of what got me started in investing was figuring out what to do with it and eventually buying stocks.
Mm-hmm. Matthew?
You mentioned going to church as a kid, but you weren't just going, were you? What were you doing?
When I was old enough, I wanted to become an acolyte when I was 8, 9 years old, an altar boy in the Episcopal Church. And that was because I enjoyed participating in things more than just sitting and watching. So it was much more interesting and enjoyable to be at church when I was doing things the entire time. And I maintained that all the way until I was 20 years old.
And what role does faith play in your life now?
Sure. So I'm not, I would say, outwardly religious, but internally, it drives a lot of my decision making and my value system around how I treat my employees and our customers. It just gave me a very great base pillar to conceptualize how I need to interact with people, especially, and how to treat people. It's just a good, solid underpinning for my behavior, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Yeah, Lee, in the green room, you mentioned your mom had you young, and you were raised in your grandparents' home with uncles around to support you, which is great. But tell me a little bit about your relationship with your father and how that's impacted who you are today.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I didn't feel like I was lacking anything growing up, but I didn't know who he was. So I remember the day that I met him because I was 8 years old, and I was very excited to meet him. And it was nice to have something new in my life from that point forward, and how we've gotten to know each other, given our more unique way of interacting and meeting each other.
Mm-hmm. So as opposed to your feeling angry or whatever, because dad wasn't in the early part of your life and you were raised by your grandparents and uncles, it sounds to me like you're really a bonded soul. There's this real support. There's this real empathy going on with you. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, I think that was partly my nature as a kid, my emotional makeup, but also I've just come to appreciate and made decisions that I wanted to take the best that I could from everyone in my life, regardless of the circumstances of how we got together. And that has been something that's guided me with my family relationships that I hope carries over to my business relationships.
Wow. Matthew, give me a hand, please.
So Lee, what was the major pivot point in your life?
I would say when I got to college, I wasn't going to go into a family business. All my family's well-educated. They all do different things. It kind of hit home for me that I had to figure out what I was going to do. I was going to be responsible for earning money. I wanted to move out. I didn't want to move back into my grandparents' house after college. So what was I going to do to have a career and a nice life? That was a pivotal moment for me. I remember when I was 18 thinking very deeply about that.
And so what was the guiding thought that you had that led you towards investment?
I was probably my experience investing myself. And then also, I had some classes in college that exposed me to different subjects that I hadn't had before in high school. And it really helped me kind of pivot from a track that I thought I was going to go down, math or science, to one that was finance related.
What class was it that led you to finance?
I was actually pretty shy and not very boisterous growing up, but I did like to talk to people. And I had a speech class with a teacher that really taught us how to read your audience, how to properly speak, how to be concise. The critiques were really good. And I found that even though it was scary at first, I really enjoyed it. And
wait, this makes no sense to me. You're in investment. It's all numbers and business and economics. And you're telling me that it's a speech class and talking to people that led you that way?
Yes, I've made my role less the stock picker, the guy that looks at the market and decides whether to buy Apple or Nvidia, and more the person that helps convince others how to do their business, create a platform that's good for them, help them achieve the success that they want. Finance is really a people business as much as it's a numbers business. And I came to understand that early in my entrepreneurial career in finance.
Finance is a people business, not a numbers business. What are you talking about?
I think it's both, what I would say. So clearly the numbers matter, but from a people perspective, you need to be trustworthy. You need to articulate very well how you're going to take care of someone. Finance and health, financial health and physical health are two of the most important things a person can have. And it just doesn't come from making a great investment. It comes from understanding the needs of people, convincing them of what to do and guiding them along that journey. There's a lot of figuring out, and a lot of it is human in nature versus just numbers.
Sounds like there's a real connection between the fact that, you know, you really felt bonded with your dad and your uncles and trying to figure out the best in people, you know, figure out what you want to bring into your life from the best in people, and this wantingness to keep bringing people into your life, which it sounds like the role you play in business. You know, you're interested in bringing in new customers. You're interested in bringing new teammates in. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, I would say that I can see from this conversation a parallel between the way I was raised and the interactions with my own family and how my network has grown so large in finance. I'm definitely the connector in the organization. Most of the 130 people we have are here because I had a relationship with either them or someone that knew them. And so the growth of my business has really been, and success of it is very dependent upon my interactions with people and how I'm able to convince people to come work with us.
Gotcha. Sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder, Matthew. Lee, what's the website address of Alden Investment Group?
It's Alden Investment Group, ALDEN, investmentgroup.com.
We've been speaking with Lee Kalfo, CEO of Alden Investment Group, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break.
This is Herb Cohen, your host of Executive Leaders Radio. And if you're a business consultant, if you consult to business owners or to business owners' team members, then we'd like to speak with you because we're getting requests from people all over the country, from entrepreneurs all over the country that are starting and building their businesses where they're looking for help. And maybe we can help connect you. Why don't you email us at consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com. And perhaps we can connect you to folks, to entrepreneurs and their team members all around the country that are looking for help. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
This is your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Norton.
Okay, who likes to save money? With many of us traveling for spring break, one great way to save money on roaming is with an always mobile eSIM, a digital SIM card downloaded to your phone to give you data in more than 170 countries. Always Mobile's Mike Stanford explains.
It's a simple checkout where you can purchase the eSIM with any major credit card or using PayPal. And as soon as you make your purchase, within a few seconds, you'll receive an email from Always Mobile containing a QR code. You simply scan that QR code into your phone and it starts the installation process. And it takes you through a couple of steps and then you have the eSIM installed in your phone. Mm-hmm. You just leave that line turned off until you reach your destination. And when you reach your destination, you turn it on and you turn your main line off and you're ready to go.
Stay in touch and save money. Always-mobile.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Norton.
Expecting parents often want to learn as much as possible about their baby, and thanks to advances in prenatal genetic screening, they can. Dr. Dallas Reed, Principal Medical Advisor for Myriad Genetics, explains.
Genetic screening may sound complex, but often it begins with a simple blood draw. Carrier screening can identify whether parents may pass on inherited conditions, while prenatal cell-free DNA screening, sometimes referred to as NIPS or NIPT, can assess a baby's chance of having chromosomal conditions like Down, Edwards, or Patau syndromes.
Genetic screening can be done as early as the first trimester and should always be discussed with a healthcare provider. A higher risk result is not a diagnosis. It simply offers more information. For many parents, that knowledge can be empowering, helping them prepare, ask informed questions, explore care options, or pursue further testing offered by their providers. For more information, visit prenatalscreening.com.
Wendy's has a new Girl Scout Thin Mints Frosty Fusion. With Girl Scout Thin Mints cookie pieces, rich creamy Frosty, and a mint chocolate cookie sauce. Which means Girl Scout Thin Mints and Wendy's Frosty, yeah, they're basically best friends now. It's like two delicious desserts just high-fived. Snapped a few too many friendship selfies, and then rode a tandem bike down a never-ending road of mint chocolate Frosty perfection. So, swing by Wendy's and try the new Thin Mints Frosty Fusion.
Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's.
Straight Talk Wireless presents Pickup Truck Wisdom.
The smartest way to spend your money is not to. Straight Talk offers free 5G phones for new and existing customers on Verizon's 5G network. So the refund money I don't spend on that free phone is the refund money I get to keep for my family. Smart.
Find us at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Straight Talk Wireless. Straightforward. Always. Taxes and fees apply. Plan purchase required for free phone offers. Copyright 2026 Verizon.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and let's get to know David Wren, who's the CEO of Stream Companies. David, what is Stream Companies?
Herb, Stream Companies is a fully integrated advertising agency serving the middle market.
Gotcha. Where you're from, how many people? Actually, it's 650 people, which is a rather exceptional growth you've had in an organically grown firm. Where you're from, how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I'm from Malvern, Pennsylvania. I'm the youngest of three. I have an older brother and an older sister.
And 8 to 14, what were the major things you were doing 8 to 14?
Major things I was doing at 8 to 14 was navigating my parents' divorce, working at Acme, and playing a lot of sports, including lacrosse.
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned as a kid that one of the effects of your parents' divorce was you felt you had to keep proving yourself. Is that true?
Definitely true. And I think it's growing up in a small community where, you know, there's a lot of married parents, and being the outcast of a divorced parent, you know, you just had a chip on your shoulder, you know, to one, to make your mom proud, and two, to make yourself feel successful.
Mm-hmm. Matthew, want to give me a hand, please?
I would. I worked at a grocery store too when I was young. So I'm curious, David, what jobs did you have at the Acme?
Matthew, started out my first 2 weeks, I was bagging groceries and pushing carts, and then went right into running the Thaw and Sell Bakery.
Running the Thaw and Sell Bakery. How did that happen? And what were you doing there? And what's it got to do with what you're doing at Stream Companies?
Yeah, I think that there was an opportunity that the manager asked if he knew I like to build things and grow things. He said, hey, do you want to try and see if we can expand this Thaw and Sell? And we did rather quickly. I think it correlates directly into having that growth mindset every day and growing Stream and how we've been able to organically grow it for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Ross?
Yeah, David, you had said, speaking of organically growing it, that you started it in literally in your mother's living room, and also said that due to the divorce and other reasons, there weren't a whole lot of rules. So starting it building it brick by brick from a living room and not having a lot of rules, that's not usually a recipe for success. How did you make it one?
Russ, I think that one is partnership and teamwork. My business partner and I played, lacrosse together in high school, continued that friendship. And I think we both just didn't want to go to work for the man. So we were able to, take the skills that we had both learned from working and selling T-shirts and beer cups in high school to take that to, build a business together for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Rory.
Yes, David. So lacrosse was a big part of your life growing up. And in the green room, you said you played attack. How did that offensive mindset and desire to score shaped the way that you approach your business career today?
Rory, I think I like the action. Like I like being in the front, building teams, winning, scoring goals. So I think it's correlated directly into just, again, being able to work with the team as well as have that adrenaline rush from winning and scoring.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey?
So, David, I know what it's like to start an agency probably around the same time you did. I know it's not all sunshine, rainbows, smooth sailing. How did navigating your parents' divorce and the resulting possibly chaotic home life prepare you to guide the agency through all those ups and downs?
Jeff, I think, I find calm in chaos. It's certainly been able us at Extreme to navigate some of the most challenging times, the great financial crisis, COVID, really being able to have a message that keeps the team on the same page, marching in the same direction, and that feeling of, unity, as well as knowing there's a leader there to know that they've got everyone's best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Hey, Dave, you mentioned that you were a youngest of three siblings. Tell me a little bit more about your relationship with your siblings and what that dynamic was like, who you are in the pecking order there, and how that sort of translated into who you are today.
Yeah, Chris, I think my brother and sister for my mom's first marriage were, 10 to 12 years older than me. So they were like second parents to me. So we really developed deep relationships. I talked to them both multiple times each week. I'm close with their kids. Some of their kids work for me. So it's really about, those relationships, keeping them together and really helping bring out the best in everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Russ.
Yeah, David, your story has this like through line of these long lasting continuing relationships. And, I think many of us know that in the agency world, that is not all that common. There's a lot of severed relationships and kind of dog eat dog. How have you managed to do that? Why is it important to you?
Russ, it's the most important thing in my life professionally and personally is to develop lasting, meaningful relationships and being able to share growing businesses, watching families grow, and really being able to have that journey together because that really finds purpose in life for me and helping people find their purpose as well. It's really why I get up every day.
David, you mentioned earlier that you were interested as a kid in making your mom proud. Tell us more about that and how that's affecting you nowadays.
Yeah, Herb, I think that, being raised primarily, I had a great relationship with my dad, but lived with my mom and being raised by my mom and, having those other parents look at her as she got up and went to work every day. And I was a third grader getting the bus by myself and letting myself in at home every day. I think there's a purpose around she raised me. She gave me all the tools and all the opportunities to be successful. And I always say that having someone believe in you is the greatest gift that a parent can give you. And I think that her believing in me really wanted me to show the world that the way that I was raised is a recipe for success because of that core belief.
How's Matthew?
The kind of connection or maybe dichotomy is the right word between how you present yourself navigating your parents' divorce and your lifelong drive to build lasting relationships. Like that connection seems obvious to me. I'm curious if we go back 8 to 14, who was it who was who gave you an example of how to build lasting relationships?
I think my mom was like really the key in that, how she interacted with people at work and family. It really just was the foundation for me of, you know, knowing that when you have people that are there for you and you're there for people, that creates a really meaningful life.
Give me an example of what you saw her doing that showed you how to do that.
I just remember the one example that sticks out in my head. There was a family that lived in Malvern. The mom passed away from breast cancer during the Christmas time. And my mom orchestrated making sure that all those kids, you know, their kids had gifts during that, you know, horrible time for that family. It was just one of those things that, again, is one example of my mom putting people before herself.
Wow. So your mom's a single mom, and in spite of the fact she is a single mom, she's working, she's got you to worry about, she went ahead and took care of this other family?
Yeah. Yeah. So it just speaks to who she is and you know, how she lived her life.
Is mom still around nowadays?
No, mom died in 2011.
Uh-huh. Was mom aware of the success you were enjoying or beginning to enjoy?
Yeah, she was. She was my biggest fan, for sure.
How do you think she felt?
She was super proud. I think, you know, a lot of times pinched herself to see her, you know, little boy accomplish those things.
Did she have, was it because you told her about your success? Did she ever come into the office? Were you driving a fancy car? How'd she know?
No, she knew it. She was, you know, close with my friends, and, you know, she got to see everything from a front row seat.
Your mom was close to your friends? Your mom was close to your friends?
Very. Yeah. She's like a second mom to him.
Really? So you really believe in close relationships with everybody. How's that affecting your building this business of 650 people?
I think, you know, or to build a business with the longevity that Stream has and employees that have been with me 26, 27 years, is all about relationships.
Yeah,
same thing with clients. I've got clients that have been with me for 25 plus years.
What's the website address for Stream Companies?
Streamcompanies.com.
We've been speaking with David Wren, CEO of Stream Companies. And Rory, could you give us a rundown on who else we've had on the air today, please?
Yes, sir. We started with Angela Rubino-Hines, president of Bovenio Rubino Service, Matthew Shapiro, managing partner, Obermeyer, then Lee Calfo, CEO, Alden Investment Group, and we were just speaking with David Wren, CEO and co-founder of Stream Companies.
I'd like to thank my co-hosts, including Rory O'Hara, Osperity, Russ Stark, Weidenhammer, Matthew Shapiro, Obermeyer, Chris Keith, Epic Brokers, Jeff Greenhouse, Glimmer, for giving me a hand structuring the questions open, providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Looking for expert insights on the cars that really matter? Then check out Carl Brower Cars on YouTube. Carl Brower has spent decades testing and analyzing vehicles from every brand at every price point. You'll find detailed reviews, the latest car news, and deep dives into what's hot and what's not in the automotive world. Whether you're shopping for your next car or just love staying on top of what's happening in the industry, Carl Brower Cars gives you straight talk, real analysis, and no fluff. Don't just read about cars, see them in action. Subscribe now to Carl Brower Cars on YouTube and join a growing community of drivers and enthusiasts who want the truth about today's vehicles. That's KARL BRAUER Cars on YouTube.